May it please God to bless our souls this evening as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and we'll read verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and reading verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The last few verses of the previous chapter tell us what had occurred just prior to this situation. And from verse 13 we read, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then we read, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We may be surprised at such a situation developing. We might well think, well, surely after that amazing scene when the voice from heaven came down and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That the situation would continue and the Saviour would be wonderfully blessed as he journeyed on without having to endure all the opposition. Here he had been obedient to his Father's will. And perhaps we would think, well now, surely everything would be plain sailing. But clearly it was not. And we have this example before us. And surely it should be a warning to us all. You see, we can, I suppose, become complacent in the things of God. But the Lord will not allow us to become complacent. And we should be thankful for that. And in order to deliver us from complacency, he brings us therefore into times of temptation. And sometimes these times of temptation can be very severe, and we may have to prove, indeed like Peter had to prove, that we are only kept by the power of God. We're not able to keep ourselves. Indeed, the word of God tells us, No man can keep alive his own soul. But surely it is a warning to us to, as it were, not relax in our religion. It's very easy to relax and to take it easy. I remember that in my own life there was a period when I was, as it were, resting on the experience I'd had, the testimony I'd had, and then I remember very clearly my father was preaching, and he preached and he said, you know, you will not only want Christ now, you'll want Christ when you come to die, and you won't know how soon you're going to die. Well, that was a real word to me, because I'd really, as it were, come into a lukewarm condition, not realizing it. And yet, you see, we need to be healthy in the things of God. We need to be lively in the things of God. And therefore, it may be the Lord does bring us into times of temptation. Well, the Lord Jesus, we're told here, was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I believe, as we see the glorious answers the Saviour gave to those temptations, that we may be encouraged in our lives when we do face temptation, which we will. There's no doubt about it. All of us, if we are the children of God, we'll find we face temptations. And those temptations are such as will not turn us to God, they will turn us away from God. And the devil is a very cunning character. Never underestimate the skill of the devil. Never think you will be strong enough to resist the devil. We're only strong in the Lord. We can only resist the devil in the Lord. We cannot resist him ourselves. If we think we can, we should be just like Peter. Peter thought he was able and strong, didn't he? Where he said he would never deny the Lord. And he would even die for him. Valiant words, weren't they? And yet in a few hours, he was denying his Lord with oaths and curses. Not once, not twice, three times. Well, it's a wonderful word and it's an important warning for all of us to recognise how we need the power of God to keep us continually. And, you know, that's not necessarily only in an outward way. Bless God if you and I are kept outwardly. But my friends, the devil attacks our minds. He attacks our thoughts. And he's very insistent. And he keeps on. And he keeps on trying to distract us from the things of God by coming into our minds and producing those things which are attractive to the flesh. They don't do our souls any good. How easy it is to be turned away. That's why we have those glorious words that the Saviour gave to his disciples when they asked how they should pray. And the Lord said, amongst other things, "Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil." How good that is to pray that every day, that we may be not led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. The sad thing is, our old nature likes temptation. It's quite an amazing thought, isn't it? You see, we like the things that the devil tempts us with. That's why we need to be on our watch, to be very aware and to be very concerned that we may not be found falling into temptation. We will be tempted, without any doubt, but may we not fall into those temptations. And so we have this situation here where Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, it is a wilderness journey which you and I are walking through. We read of Jacob, the Lord called him. Where did he find him? In the waste, howling wilderness. And I've heard some people say, well, I think the Bible really exaggerates the situation. It's not really as bad as that. Well, it depends how spiritually minded you are. If you're not very spiritually minded, you won't think the world's a waste, howling wilderness. You'll think it's not a bad place, really, and you're getting on quite well. But look at your soul. Is your soul healthy? And if your soul is healthy, and if you're seeking after Christ, if you're seeking after to know that blessed union with the Saviour, you won't want to then be found enjoying the world. And then the world will not be attractive. And you'll find it is, as Jacob tells us, a waste, howling wilderness. No place to settle down in, is it? A waste, howling wilderness isn't a happy place to be, is it? With the wind howling around and all the weeds and things growing up, and perhaps a desert place, not a happy place to abide in. And that will be the position. If the Lord is graciously dealing with us and enabling us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're familiar words, aren't they? They should be. I hope they are. But nonetheless, it's a different situation by just declaring them and walking them out. Well, here we have then the statement here about the Saviour himself, led up into the wilderness, led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the situation which had been produced prior to this temptation, or this severe temptation, was that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was afterward and hungered. We don't have a lot of detail about what that actually and really meant, because in another account we're told that he was tempted for 40 days. Well, he wasn't tempted perhaps for the 40 days in the same way that he was in the account we have here before us. But nonetheless, I'm sure there was that continual temptation. We may say, well, why was it the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ tempted? Well, we have the answer in the Word of God. We have all the answers in the Word of God. There's no lack of answers. We don't know the answers because we don't study the Word of God to find the answers. And, well, we read two verses in the Hebrews which give us the good reason why the Saviour was tempted. In the second chapter, in the 18th verse, we read, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." That means he understands very clearly the situation that you and I are passing through. We have a wonderful friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, who understands the temptations that we are facing. And then in the fourth chapter and the 15th verse, we read a similar statement. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities." And remember, of course, we need a high priest to be able to approach unto a holy God in heaven. A high priest was always necessary in Old Testament times to go into the holy place. Well, Jesus is in the holy place. The holy place now, not on the earth as it was in the temple or the tabernacle, but now in glory. And we have this high priest there. And so the word tells us, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And then we just read on, "Let us, you and me, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, we have times of need when the devil comes and tempts us. But we should be thankful tonight that we have a great and glorious high priest in heaven who knows all about us and knows every temptation that you and I are facing or having to walk in. He knows all about us. And the truth is that he has been tempted in the same things, because the Word of God tells us, and it's true, tempted in all points like as we are. So we won't be able to say, well, of course, Jesus doesn't understand. He does understand. He understands us very, very well. And therefore, we can come to him and we can pour our heart to him and we can tell him our fears, our difficulties, the problems we're facing, the temptations we're in, and we can pray that he will indeed deliver us. "Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil." God is faithful. Our problem is we so often fail to pray to God. So often we find our prayers become a traditional string of requests and phrases. But what a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit indicts us with prayer from on high, indicted by his Spirit, to seek for those things which would be for our soul's good and indeed for the honour and glory of our God. So here we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ then, led into the wilderness and now tempted of the devil. And the tempter came to him. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I want to notice this, that how did the Lord Jesus Christ respond to the temptations of the devil? It's important for us to realize, because there will be those times when the devil comes and says, "Well, you can go and do that. Why don't you go and do that? Why don't you enjoy that situation? Why did you get involved in that?" And how are we going to respond? Are we going to try and weigh up the picture and think, "Well, I probably can be involved in that, and I don't think it will bring me into any harm or any difficulty"? Well, that's very dangerous ground. You know, you and I must not rely on our own ability to be able to calculate whether such a temptation is real or not, and whether we are allowed to walk in that way. So how did the Lord Jesus respond? He responded by quoting the Word of God. And therefore, if you and I are addressed by the devil in our minds, perhaps in a situation to be involved in something, and we need to check it out, don't lean to our own understanding. That'll fail. But lean to the Word of God. Now, the problem is that we may not know the Word of God well enough to be able to give an immediate answer. And it may mean that you and I will have to pray over the Word of God to come to a right decision as to how to react. Well, we have the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ here, because he answers. How does he answer? He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And you may say, "Well, where does that come?" Well, I'll tell you where it comes. It comes in the 8th of Deuteronomy and the 3rd chapter. And we read this. This is, remember, Moses addressing Israel just shortly before he was to lose his life, be taken. And he was so concerned that Israel might have a real record of God's instruction to them. And therefore he writes the book of Deuteronomy. "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Well, that was a wonderful, complete answer, wasn't it? You see, the devil couldn't respond to it because he knew the word was true. And if you and I are able to speak to the devil as he tempts us and tries to invite us into some sinful situation, to be able to come and answer him from the Word of God. And perhaps I should say this: do not agree to anything unless the Word of God allows it. Perhaps I ought to say this: unless the Word of God encourages it. Because you know the Apostle Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." And how good it is if you and I seek for those things which are expedient. What does that mean? It means that which will profit our souls, that which will keep us healthy in the things of God. And so here was this answer that the Lord gave the devil. Now, don't expect the devil to give up. The devil's very persistent, and he will be very persistent. He'll be persistent, I believe, right down until we breathe our last breath on this earth. Because he will want to capture us, possess us if he can, and he will not give up. He may go away for a while, but he will not give up. And so we see the Lord Jesus was able to answer the devil in this way. And then it would seem immediately the devil then produces another temptation. And the first temptation really spoke direct to his need. He'd been fasting for 40 days and he was hungry. So what do you think he therefore produced the devil? He immediately said, didn't he? Well, how about changing these stones into bread? Well, you might think, well, yes, well, surely the Lord needed bread. And surely he could, he wanted bread and he could have changed the stones into bread. But you see, he answered in this gracious way. Man not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And sorry just to go back to this point, but the important thing is here that the Lord speaks then very clearly and very directly to differentiate between natural food and spiritual food. We read this morning and we made some comments on the sixth chapter of John. And in that chapter, how very, very clearly the Lord Jesus speaks about the necessity of spiritual food. Spiritual food which will be good for the soul and not to be satisfied with the bread of this life. And he illustrates it by telling them that the children of Israel had had manna all those years, but they were dead. It had only done them good for the day. But if the Lord blesses us with spiritual food, you see, it is an eternal blessing. And therefore, the Saviour speaks and reminds the devil of these glorious words, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, if God has spoken to our souls, then my friends, it is important that you and I have some knowledge of Christ speaking to us in one way or another. It may be in very simple terms. It may be perhaps in a verse of scripture. It may be a line of a hymn. But whatever it will be, I believe it will have come with power to our souls. And as it's come to power to our souls, we will know that it's proceeded out of the mouth of God. And it remains. It remains, you see. Why? It's eternal food. It doesn't perish, doesn't disappear. God feeds us with words from his mouth. What a blessing it is, and how good it is, and how we rely upon God's word. God never gives a word that you and I won't need. God gives you and me a word that we shall need. And we shall have to rely upon it. And we'll have to come perhaps many times and say, Lord, thou hast said. That's the word that I'm relying upon. Thou hast said. Well, it's good, isn't it, then, to know that the gracious God has spoken to our hearts and that's what's keeping our souls alive. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and how humbling it is to realize that Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, condescends to speak to sinners of the earth. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think of the billions of people in this world, the billions of people that have passed out of this world, and yet the Lord knows everyone. He knows where they are. He knows the situation. And he knows those who are his. And he knows those whom he has spoken to. And they know they're amongst those whom he has spoken to. And it's a glorious and blessed privilege and wonderful favour to know that God has called us, spoken to us, as the apostle says, called me by his grace. It's an expression which is often used, isn't it? And it is a scripture expression. Called by his grace. That means the Lord's called us. That means the Lord's spoken to us. That means the words proceeded out of the mouth of God and has come to us and has done us eternal good. Well, then, the devil takes him up into the holy city. That, of course, is Jerusalem, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Well, the highest place, as it were, available. And what does he say? If thou be the Son of God. The devil is a past master at questioning the truth of God. That's precisely what he did back in the Garden of Eden when he came to Eve and he tempted her with that subtle question, hath God said? And what does it do? What did it do? It sowed a seed of doubt in her mind. What may it do to us today? It may sow a seed of doubt into our mind. Well, here we have this statement. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Well, we have the temptation there. And how does the Lord respond again? Again, it's good to read the response. Jesus said unto him, didn't waste any words, very direct. He says again, it is written. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And here again, this is a direct reference to the words that Moses wrote spoke to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy and the 6th chapter. And the 16th verse tells us, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. And there's the exact statement, you see, that the Lord uses to speak to the devil. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, it was a very adequate answer, wasn't it? When you and I, by the grace of God, are able to quote Scripture, the truth of God's word, it is very adequate. And the devil will not be able to argue against it. It's only when you and I are left to ourselves and try and argue in our own way, using perhaps natural things. Turn to the Word of God. God's given us the Bible. Blessed God, isn't he? Given us the Bible. And what a favourite it is that here we have this before us. And we see, do we not then, the reason why Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, because he gives us a great and glorious testimony and an example how you and I should answer. Because there are these 3 points really that the devil brings to the Lord, and in essence it's very easy to be tempted in a similar way with all these three things. And the first one really is to concentrate on natural food rather than spiritual food. It's very easy for us today to concentrate on natural food rather than spiritual food. We seem to lack the realization of the great need there is for spiritual food. And that, of course, is to feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to feed upon his death. Why is it that the Lord Jesus, on that Passover night, he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said this, this do in remembrance of me. Because whenever we are directed to the sufferings of Christ, his broken body and his shed blood, you know, if we are amongst those whom the Lord has chosen, it should move our hearts, touch our hearts, as we recognize the great cost of our salvation. And how it should indeed be food for our souls. And we should never weary of coming to the cross. We should never weary of hearing about the cross, because it should be food for our souls. You know, we can often weigh up our religion, can we not? By, well, what do we think of Christ? And what do we think of his death? And is the name of Jesus a sweet sound to us? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. The sound of the suffering Saviour. Is it tonight a sweet name in your ear? Or is it just another name? What a difference there is. What a blessing it is when the Word of God comes and when it speaks of the Saviour, it's as though our heart lights up. We love to hear about the Saviour. Well, food for our souls. And then you see here then the devil indicates that, you know, we can preserve ourselves. He says, no, throw thyself down. No, safety is of the Lord. We have no safety in and of ourselves. We have no strength in and of ourselves. Safety is of the Lord. And that safety is indeed from perhaps falling into all manner of sin. What a blessing it is then to have a testimony like this. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil goes on again. Not giving up, you see. Again. Remember that. He may tempt you and you may think, well, I've been able to resist the devil, and you can thank God for it. My friends, be on your guard still. The devil's there. He's very active. And so now, what does he say? He takes him up into an high, exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The inference there is, of course, to encourage our pride. I think, well, how wonderful it would be if I had all these things. How good it would be, how encouraging I would be. I'd love to have this and I'd love to have that. Well, the devil says, well, you can have them all if you worship me. And remember, of course, the devil's a liar and it wouldn't happen anyway. But there's the temptation. Don't listen to the devil. And what does the Lord say? Well, Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And again, turn into the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. We have the answer there in an earlier verse, which tells us that we should not serve anyone other than the Lord himself. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. That's the truth, my friends. You and I should fear the Lord our God and to serve him. And what that means is we are not to serve the devil. We're not to serve the devil. And we do serve the devil when we turn away from our God, when we turn away from the precious truths of the gospel, when we turn away from meditating on the suffering Saviour. We're not serving God. We're then serving the devil. Now then, the devil had therefore spoken these three temptations to the Saviour. And the Saviour had wonderfully answered them from the Old Testament. Well, we have the Bible today. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. My friends, what a volume of truth it is. And how many words there are, especially in the letters that the Apostle wrote to the various churches to encourage us today, as we may find times of temptation, that we may be given that grace to resist the devil. And of course, we're encouraged, aren't we, in the Ephesians, when Paul tells us to take unto us the whole armour of God. The whole armour of God. So that you and I might be equipped to fight the devil. The devil won't easily give up. He won't go away. What a blessing it is when you and I are favoured to possess this whole armour of God, to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in ourselves. That's a lesson we have to learn. That we're weak in ourselves. Never rely on your ability, but rely on the strength of Almighty God. And therefore he tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armour of God. God has given an armour. And we're thankful that in our Bible studies we're going through this. James is going through this for us. And it's very encouraging and very strengthening to realise what a favour it is. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against something which is naturally tangible to our own understanding. And therefore he tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, the day of temptation, the day in the wilderness, the day when you may perhaps not be in a comfortable situation. You won't be sitting in chapel. You may be in the world. You may be in a difficult situation. You may find worldly people all around you. And then you see it is that you'll need this whole armour. Then it is you'll need the word of God to be able to resist the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God. Oh, my friends, never weary in studying and reading the word of God. The whole truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, our journey through this world is one where we're attacked continually by the devil. And he throws fiery darts which are painful. And our faith is tested to see whether we are amongst those who truly depend upon the grace of God, or whether we are relying on our own ability. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, that's a very wonderful few verses which describes to us the whole armour of God. And what a favour it is that God gives us this armour to put on. And may we put it on so that when the devil comes and tempts us, we may be able to answer him from the word of God. And if so, he will not be able to answer. And as we see here, the great and glorious picture of the Saviour, a conqueror. He conquered. He conquered sin, hell and the grave. And I love those words. And we are more than conquerors through him. Oh, what a blessing it is that we have such a great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has set before us such a wonderful example, who has paid the price for our sin, endured the curse, endured all that suffering, so that you and I might be set free, and by his grace one day be found with him, with our blessed Saviour, in glory, around that throne of God in heaven, praising him throughout eternity. Well, this evening, may we bless God for the word of God once again, which gives us such encouraging truth, and to see how the Lord was able to resist the devil in those gracious words and this wonderful example. And may we be concerned and continually and prayerfully concerned that you and I may also be equipped with the truth of God in our hearts and be able to answer the devil when he tempts us, when he leads us into temptation. Remember the great words of the Saviour, the great prayer. May it be a constant prayer with us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.